Okay, welcome to another episode of the Take the Shot podcast. I'm Nick, and I'm just doing a solo pod. Alec is on a work trip, so I'll just be going solo today. Of course, I am talking about the NBA, and I just want to talk really about Shea's game. Shea just played the perfect game. All his teammates, all the role players stepped up. Still kind of didn't get what you would want to see from J-Dub. Chat stepped up. Saw a little bit more of the two big lineup. Those are just some of the top things I noticed. On the Indiana side, they're just doing a really good job of defending Tyrese. Hallie didn't really get aggressive until the fourth quarter when, at that point, it's just like too little too late. Really didn't get that aggressiveness from Pascal either. If they want any chance to actually have a chance to win this series, they're both going to be more aggressive. They're going to have to find ways to get their shot off, to create their shot. They're the two stars on that team. They're the two playmakers. Andrew Nembhard, Aaron Nesmith, yeah, they can create their shot here and there. Bendik Mathurin, same with him. But they're just role players. You can't rely on that. If Tyrese really wants to be a superstar, if he wants to elevate into that class, he's got to do it night in and night out. Hasn't done it the first two games. The only reason that we weren't talking about him the first game was because he made that game winner. If he didn't make that game winner, we definitely would have been talking about, well, I don't know if people would have been talking about how he didn't show up, but that's really what saved them that game, was that last-minute clutch shot. But just looking at game two, Shea, he was in control, got to the free throw line. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But just looking at the stats from game two, Tyrese, he did end up being the leading scorer, but again, he didn't really do anything until the fourth quarter. Going into the fourth quarter, he had 3 points, three rebounds, five assists. He ended with 17, three rebounds, and six assists. He did also have five turnovers in the game. Pascal, he had 15 points, three for 11, one for four from three, seven rebounds. You're going to need more from him. Again, the role players, you can't really count on them. TJ McConnell's been a little consistent. Bennett Mathurin, he had 14 points. But honestly, you cannot really count on those guys. I guess you just will hope that they will play better at home, which they probably will. I'm sure Gainsbridge, it'll be lively in that building. But just looking on the OKC side, Chet had 15 points, 6 rebounds. J-Dub, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. 5 for 14 from the field, 1 for 5 from 3. For like a role player, that's a pretty decent game. But when Jalen Williams is supposed to be the number 2 on that team, you're going to need more from him. He's going to have to step that up when they go to Indiana. Because they will need him to step up in order for them to steal a game there, because the Pacers role players probably are going to play better at home. Lou Dort, he was only 1 for 3, but Cason Wallace, 2 for 4. But the real story was Caruso scoring 20 off the bench and Aaron Wiggins scoring 18. They made big shots off the bench, really helped Shea out. Oh, yeah, and Shea's stat line. He was 34 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. And, again, he was 11 for 12 from the free throw line. I know a lot of people, and I've been over this, but they like to say he's a free throw merchant. But to be an elite scorer in the NBA, to do what he's done, to score 3,000 points in the NBA playoffs, to score 3,000 points in a series, like regular season and playoffs combined, you got to get to the line. Like, every elite scorer in NBA history has gotten to the line, like, 8-plus times per game. The one outlier, at least I can think of off the top of my head, would be like Steph Curry. I did pull up his basketball reference. So Steph Curry's highest free throws per game, it looks like he was at 5.9 in 2017-2018. But for his career, he's only averaging like 4.3, which for someone who scores as much as him, that is rare. But usually to be an elite scorer like that, to score 30 points a game, you got to get to the line. You got to get those easy points. When you're struggling, when your team's struggling, get to the line, get those easy points. That's what you're taught at an early age. And obviously, Shea did have Chris Paul as a vet, so I'm sure he did learn some of that from him as well. And I guess where I want to go with this is, honestly, it's just hard to do what Shea does. Like, even to get to the line that much, that's extremely hard to do. Like, the reason why he's able to get to the line so much is just because he's able to get wherever he wants on the floor because he has a great handle, he has great balance, great strength. Even when he does get fouled, he still goes up and still tries to finish. But the fact that he's able to get anywhere on the floor that he wants, that's what puts defenders in an awkward position where they're like trailing behind him, or the help comes over and then they have to foul him. So that's really what puts people, or puts NBA defenders, in that awkward position. And that's what really allows Shea to draw those fouls. But just like any of the top scorers in NBA history, they all get to the line. It's something that everyone does. So I personally don't see it as a problem. I just think that people are just talking about it the wrong way. Yes, I understand he does go to the line a lot, but if you're looking at any top scorer in NBA history, they all get to the line several times per game. But just going back to game two, unlike the first game, OKC, they had a lead and they were able to extend that lead. The Pacers, whenever they would fight back and try to cut down that lead, the Thunder were able to answer and extend the lead back out to like 19-20, 22. They were able to like keep it in that range, so the Pacers weren't able to make that run. Whereas in game one, it didn't feel like the Thunder should have, they felt like they should have been up more, but they really weren't able to extend the lead as much as they should have. I guess the points off turnovers, the Thunder are still struggling to convert all those points off turnovers. That's probably the one weird thing. And I guess Indiana has had a focus to like make sure that they get back, just because the Thunder are always swiping at the ball, forcing those turnovers, forcing those steals. That's not something that really any other team does in the league. But the Thunder do that, so I guess Indiana has been more aware and self-conscious to make sure that they get back, just so that the Thunder aren't getting those easy fast break points. But the Thunder have been playing really well in the half court. Shea, he was more in control of this game. He was more conscious of making sure he got his teammates involved, made sure that they got going. Just because in the first game, he was able to get wherever he wanted. He also was able to get whatever shot he wanted, but he did take over 30 shots in that game. And maybe that's what, maybe that's why some of his teammates did struggle in game one, and it felt like more in game two, he was making more of an effort to pass the ball around and make sure that his teammates did get involved. And again, just going from the Pacers side, It's just kind of like the lack of aggression, at least from the two quote unquote stars on that team, Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Haliburton. I do want to say, if Tyrese Haliburton, if he does want to be regarded as a superstar, if he does want to be regarded as not overrated, he has to step up. He has to be more aggressive. He has to just find a way to score. I know that's not his game, but when that's just what it means to be a superstar. If you're a superstar of your team, you gotta find whatever way it takes to win. If your team needs you to score, you gotta score. If your team needs you to play make, you gotta play make. I guess probably the most, not the most similar to what Tyrese is right now, but I guess just thinking about the way the team functions around a singular player, I kind of think of like the old Warriors, like the 14, 15 Warriors, 15, 16 Warriors, where even the Durant years, Steph Curry was still like the sole engine of that team. That team moved when he moved. All the lineups with him were always positive. Pre-Durant years and during the Durant years, even when like he was like the sole superstar on the floor, like playing with just bench players, those were all positive lineups. Just because Steph, he was able to draw all the attention, but he was also able to do whatever his team needed. If his team needed him to score a lot, which is what he mainly did, he's more definitely more of a scorer than Tyrese. He was able to score, but Steph can also play make, underrated playmaker on the team. But if Steph was getting, if they were playing Steph hard, and he could easily just pass it to his open teammates, make sure that his role players got involved, and they would hit shots. And if honestly, it just because, sorry, let me make sure I'm phrasing this correctly. So, just. The reason why I thought of that personally is Tyrese, he's the engine of this team. Like, again, this team moves as he moves. He hasn't been able to get into the double digit assist range like he usually does. And he isn't scoring either. So he's gonna have to find a way either to get his teammates more involved, get his teammates easy buckets, or he's gonna have to take some of that scoring load. And that's just what's in the old days, that's just what Steph was able to do. He was able to, if he wasn't scoring, he was able to get his teammates involved. If his teammates weren't able to hit shots, then he would be able to just go off, take control of the game, and win his team games. And that's what it means to be a superstar. Unfortunately, you can't just have bad games like Tyrese has had for the first two. You can't go 17-3-6 that in the NBA Finals, that isn't good enough. That's not good enough to be considered a superstar. Even though they squeaked out the first game, just looking at Pascal stats, 19-10-3, solid game, but not superstar level. And then Tyrese Haliburton, he had 14 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Again, still not going to get the job done. You got to do more for your team. And that's what it means to be this, a superstar. You got to be the reason why your team either wins or loses. And Shea, I felt like he took that. Even though he's nonchalant, as people would say, he definitely took that game personally. And you definitely saw that there was a little. He took a different approach to this game, making sure his teammates were involved, making sure that he was still hitting his shots. He was way more efficient in this game. 11 for 21, 11 for 12 from the line, 34 points. So I know I'm not a huge efficiency nerd, but when the nerds talk about efficiency, that's how you boost those efficiency metrics, is by getting to the line, hitting a good percentage. Shooting well from the floor, shooting 50% from the floor. He's not as good of a 3-point shooter, so his effective field goal percentage probably won't, So I guess he won't get boosted in his effective field goal percentage from threes, but because he's so efficient from the floor and from the line, he definitely is the leading scorer for the Thunder and the reason why that team either wins or loses. Occasionally, J-Dub will have games where he'll go off, and they might not need Shea to go off, but night in, night out, you can usually count on Shea to be there, and he'll be the reason why that team wins or loses. Obviously, he will need help. He will need J-Dub to step up. J-Dub, he'll probably have to have a game or two where he does score like 25 or 30. He definitely has it in him. He definitely can do it. I don't know if it's just the pressure of the finals where he's taking some time to get used to it. I honestly don't know why he struggled so much. I guess we saw it a little bit in the Denver series, but he did also come alive in the Denver series and hit some big shots in that series and had a game where he had over 30 points. So he definitely is more than capable of doing that against the Pacers. So I'm just looking to see what J-Dub does for games 3 and 4. You can pretty much count on Shea to have at least 30 both those games just because he's so efficient. Also, another thing about his scoring is that Shea is just so consistent with his scoring. He's always scoring at least 20 points a game, 30 points a game. He's just so consistent. Unlike most scorers, like usually they'll have a couple huge spikes where they go off for like 50s and 60s that really boost that scoring average. Shea, he did it this season, but last season he didn't really do that. Like I think his highest scoring game last season was like 46 or something like that. Like he was just super efficient, just scoring like 30 over and over and over again. Not really hitting those like peak numbers to help boost it. So it's a very efficient and consistent like 30 points a game. It's something that you can always count on, something that you can always rely on. And that's why I personally valued Shea as a superstar coming out of last year, and he's definitely backed it up, improved it this year. Honestly, I thought he probably should have won MVP last year, and I thought Jokic should have won it this year, but I guess it probably just evened itself out with Shea winning it this year and Jokic winning it last year. But personally, I would have flipped it. But honestly, I'm really enjoying this NBA Finals. It's been good to see Shea go off. I know it's not the most exciting matchup, not the matchup I would have chose, but just seeing the way the Thunder are able to like defend the Pacers and the way that they're able to slow them down, they're really focusing on slowing down Tyrese Haliburton, making him play a different way, really slowing down the machine. Tyrese has just got to figure out how to be more aggressive, how to get his points. Honestly, in order to probably get his teammates more involved, he's going to have to be more aggressive as a scorer. He's going to have to find ways to score to get those points. He's got probably going to have like a big quarter, big half. He's probably going to have like 20 points in the first half just so that the Thunder probably bring a little bit more attention to him and then opens it up for his teammates and in order for them to get easier shots and for them to make plays. The role players probably will play better at home. If Tyrese isn't able to do it, then Pascal will have to step up and do it. But even if Tyrese isn't able to score like 20 and a half, or they're probably going to need like 15 and a half from both him and Pascal, they're probably going to have to score like 60 points combined. And then probably get like another 60 from the role players, if not more. Just because they haven't been able to slow down Shea. I don't know if that's personally their strategy, is that they just want Shea to go off and then try to neutralize everyone else. They haven't, I guess, personally, that may just be the strategy because They did let Donovan Mitchell go off. They let Giannis go off. They let Jalen Brunson go off. However, in all three of those previous series, they never really had that second person go off. In the first game, it was just kind of Shea and Alex Caruso. Didn't really have anyone else. J-Dub hasn't gone off. Chet hasn't gone off, although you're not really expecting that from Chet as much, because Chet isn't really that much, isn't, he isn't like a, you don't really expect Chet to go off for like 30 or 40, but J-Dub, you definitely know he has that in him. I guess it was just really big that Aaron Wiggins and Alex Caruso were both able to step up and assist Shea with the scoring. Same with Chet. Chet can't just score single digits, but as long as Chet's in like that 12 to 18 range, they'll probably be good from him. Just because, you know, he'll be great on the defensive end on the floor. But again, Shea, super consistent. You know what you're going to get from him every night. I guess really the X factors for the series will just be, what do we get from J-Dub? What do we get from Tyrese? What do we get from Pascal? The series is just going to, it's going to be determined how, how quickly the Thunder are able to finish it, or how long the Pacers are able to extend it, based on what we are able to get from those three. If J-Dub is able to step up and he's able to be a running mate for Shea, they can end it in five. They can end it quicker. If Tyrese and Pascal are able to match and they're able to step up, make some shots, get some easy shots for their teammates, they'll have a chance to extend this series. Personally, just with that Thunder defense, I just don't see it happening. I don't really see either Pascal or Tyrese as a go-to scorer, as a number one option, as someone that can just create their own shot and just go off whenever they want to. I feel like they are more matchup dependent than other stars in the league. I'm okay with considering Pascal a star. He's been an all-star a few times. He's pretty consistent with what he does. Tyrese, I would also just consider him a star. I would not say he is a superstar. Again, he's just been too up and down throughout his career. I know he's had some injuries, and those may have been the reason why he's been up and down, but he's definitely healthy now, and it's just the Thunder defense is getting to him. He's got to find a way to be more aggressive. I'm sure Rick Carlisle's probably cooking up something, probably making sure that they do get him some easy buckets in the first half, or just find more ways for him to be more of a scorer, just because that's kind of how they're playing him. They're playing for him to be more of a scorer. And the Thunder are trying to prevent the others from getting involved. And you can really see that in like those lower assist totals. And also they're just kind of forcing Tyrese to turn over the ball, which is kind of his superpower, is just being super efficient, taking care of the ball. Kind of like a Chris Paul type, where just super efficient with that assist-to-turnover ratio. He's not turning it over a lot, and he's creating a lot of shots for his teammates. I guess that's all I got for you guys today. Hopefully, I was able to drop a little knowledge on you guys with the Shea scoring. Again, and I guess before we leave, I will mention that Shea has already eclipsed 3,000 points for this regular season and postseason combined. He has done it this year. He didn't do it last year. And I guess there's been a few people that have hit it once. I know Kobe's done it once. James Harden's done it once. There's been a few other players that have done it once. However, Wilt did it 5 times, and then MJ did it 10 times, which is honestly, I guess that just shows you how tough that is to do, with the only players that have done it more than one time, whereas Will and MJ, and if you're just even close to that conversation with them, you're in good company. I guess I can talk more about Shea's legacy and how this championship really would impact that later on, but I'll wait till later on in the series when that is closer to ending. But I did just want to leave off or end with that. Just kind of putting in perspective how good of a season Shea's having and just what he's able to do. I guess the reason why I keep talking about him so much is just because I see his game. I know how tough it is with what he's doing. And it's just amazing how consistent he's able to be and how reliable and dependable he is. But I'll end with that, and we'll see you guys probably Thursday. I think Alec may be back from his work trip by then. Actually, if he's back Wednesday, we may do something Wednesday night, or I may just do a solo pod Wednesday night and drop it on Thursday just because I do want to do something else for the NBA Finals. Just because that's my bag and that's what I'm the most comfortable with. So I'll probably see you guys. Well, I'll probably record Wednesday night and you'll hear from me on Thursday. You guys have a good one.